Now for our story. For months past, the thoughts of many people, of Kit Mead and her husband Bill, of Ben and Jesse Calvert, of Lisa Fenner and Paul Cromwell, had been concentrated on one thing, the birth of a child. What this new life might do to change the lives of all the people affected by it. To each of these people, the birth of a child had meant a solution to his own problem. But tonight, each of these people is thinking of a far different event. Thinking of a divorce. Divorce, a word which symbolizes failure and frustration. The exact contrast to everything which is fruitful and complete. A word which signifies the ending of a relationship which should be the finest experience in life. In Paul Cromwell's house at Malibu Beach outside of Los Angeles, Lisa Fenner is thinking...
It must be almost midnight in Wakefield. Kit's been home several hours. I wonder what Bill said when she got off the train. When he saw my child and thought it was his own. But the baby isn't mine anymore. I must forget that it ever was. I mustn't go back. It's all over and done with. And I do have Paul. As soon as my divorce from Lance is final, I wish it were all settled. Why doesn't Paul get in touch with the attorney? I must ask him. Because as soon as that's all straightened out, Paul and I will be married. We can begin our new life. I wonder where Paul is. He must be thinking about this, too.
Well, Kit's in Wakefield by now. I suppose Mead greeted her at the station with open arms. I can see him beaming at Lisa's baby, imagining it's his own. The proud papa. I still don't understand Kit's game about the baby. Outside of any help she gave me, it seems to me that the child would only complicate her relationship with Mead. Make it all the more difficult for her to get clear of him. And how soon will she tell him she wants the divorce? Right away, I hope. I can't stand this much longer. Lisa's getting restless, impatient. I can't keep stalling her, keeping her contented. Kit ought to know that. She ought to get busy right away. She's made up her mind. At least that's what she says. Sometimes I had a funny feeling about Kit. As though she might be holding something back. Well, I'll know before very long. When she gets the divorce from Mead. Perhaps Kit's told him already. I suppose he'll fight it. I wonder what he's thinking now.
I can understand Mr. Calvert's feeling pretty indignant because I want a divorce, Kit. People always feel that way about a divorce where children are involved. But on the other hand, bringing a child up in a family where there's no understanding, no sympathy between the mother and father, well, that isn't good either. I'm worried about that kid. My son. The thing is, neither Mr. Calvert nor Kit paid any attention to what I said. They thought they could somehow get me to change. I guess I have been pretty much of a pushover. But I'm not going to be anymore. I'm not going to live in that house either. If Kit wants to come here until we settle things, well, that'll have to be okay. She's still my wife until we get the divorce. That's one thing I'm sure of. I am going to get a divorce, no matter what Kit thinks.
So Bill wants a divorce. I can hardly believe it. Yet it's true. I guess deep down inside, I always feared this would finally happen. And after all the trouble I went through, all the planning, getting Paul to do what I wanted and Lisa... All the time I had just one thought in my mind. To come home to Bill with a baby. I knew how much he wanted one. But I guess I was wrong. The baby doesn't make the difference. It was too late. If only I could get him back here so he'd see the child grow and see the baby every day, he'd be crazy about it. I know he would. Maybe Jesse's right. Maybe I should have more pride. Perhaps Jesse was right about Bill, too. That he's been in love with Peggy all the time. Oh, I've put so much into this thing, fought so hard. I can't give up now.
Kit walked up and down, nervously smoking one cigarette after another. And then her father had come into the room and closed the door.
Well, Dad?
That blasted fool.
I knew you'd come back alone. I don't know why you insisted on going to see Bill.
Do you know what he had the nerve to suggest? He said he was willing, mind you, for you to go and live there in that auto court with him until you could arrange things, as he put it. He asks my daughter to take her child and live in that hovel with him.
Maybe that's what I should do. Bill's not entirely wrong about it.
What?
Well, you know how independent he's always been about providing for me. Didn't want to use my money.
But good heavens, you have a child now. You can't live in a place like that without even the proper facilities. Not with my grandchild.
No, there's no use talking about it. Let's face it, I failed, and that's that. You might as well call it quits.
We most certainly will not. I don't intend to have this whole town gossiping about how your husband walked out on you when you came home with his child.
Well, let them. They're bound to say it anyway. There's no use in our kidding ourselves any longer, Dad. Bill's through.
He may be, but I'm not.
But there's nothing you can do. Besides, I'm sick to death of the whole thing.
You're just tired, Kit. You get a good rest and be prepared for a battle. We're not beaten yet. I'm not going to let him get by with this, walking out on his wife and son.
Well, in a way, it's on our own heads. The funny thing is, I'm really in love with Bill.
I know that, too. That's why it makes me so mad to see you being kicked around.
Well, I guess there has to be a first time for everyone. This is mine.
I'd like to throttle that boy. Everything was going so well. You with a fine, healthy son. Home, living here in my house. It was just what I've always wanted. We can't let it all go. We've got to do something.
We're just going around in circles, Dad. I don't see what there is to do. Bill's so stubborn when his mind is once made up.
So am I.
But, Dad, that's so silly. You can't tie the man down if he doesn't want to come here. There's nothing we can do.
There must be. Just give me time and I'll think of something.
Well, I wish you luck. I haven't much faith. I wish you'd go along now, Dad. We can discuss it in the morning. This thing has been just about as much as I can take after the trip with the baby.
All right. But before I go, I want to make one thing clear. You are not going to give up, understand? There isn't going to be a divorce.
Oh, Dad, after all this, how can you say that?
There can't be a divorce if you refuse. Bill would never sue you for a divorce. You ought to know that. He's just not that sort of man.
How can we know what Bill might or might not do?
Well, he may not be everything I would have asked for in a son-in-law, but he must have some decency in him.
It's not a question of decency when you come right down to it. It's a question of how much you want something and what you're prepared to do to get it.
Or a question of what you don't want and what you're prepared to do about that. And I'm telling you now, I'll do everything I can to keep that boy from divorcing my daughter. I'll ruin him in this town if necessary, but he's not going to divorce you. You can depend on that.
Ben's voice sounded confident, sure. But listening, Kit doubted that he was right to be so positive. She remembered what Jesse had told her this evening. Jesse's certainty that Bill would insist on a divorce, no matter what Kit did. Jesse might be right, and her father wrong. Bill might have the courage to insist on a divorce, to go ahead on his own, even if she refused. And if he did, would Peggy Douglas continue her relationship with Nicholas Dorn?